How are you this morning? It's good to see you. And I am excited this morning. This is excitement. I am excited because we are starting a new series here in River Maidenhead that I believe is going to bring fresh life to you individually and to us as a family. Church family together here in River Maidenhead. Now, as you know, since the beginning of the year, we've been talking about refresh. We've been talking about refreshing our relationship with Jesus, going back to things that we may have forgotten about doing, like reading our Bibles, praying, giving, serving, and wanting really to be people who walk with relationships with Jesus rather than people who sit in church. Oh, look who I've just seen. I'm sorry, everybody. I've just seen Ruth and new baby Reuben. Is that right? Welcome. This is the newest member of River Church. Very important. Welcome, Ruth. Congratulations. And welcome to Reuben. He's so little and gorgeous. Anyway, back to refresh. Oh, that's just too exciting. So this morning, what we're wanting to do is introduce a new series, as Dave said, called Encountering Jesus, which will be a 3-month Bible reading adventure for all of us. And we want to do this corporately as a church family. Now, I am really excited about this. It's really easy sometimes to think I've dreamed things. And, you know, I go to the team and I say, oh, I've just been thinking about this. What do you think about this? And we chat about it and we go, oh yeah, no, that sounds good. And you kind of get on this trail. But there are moments when I stand there, like a couple of weeks ago, and I think, have I gone mad? You know, here we go. I'm just saying this is what we're going to do. And the Lord's so good. He knows we need encouragement. So on Thursday, I was in a leaders meeting and the gentleman speaking was literally talking my heart for this series. It was extraordinary. The phrases he used, the things he was saying, the encouragements he was giving to read the word, to start in John, to get awakened. And Rachel was there as well. And we were just sitting there going, oh, my goodness. So I came away really encouraged that God is on this and in this, and he wants to do some great things amongst us in this next season. So I want you to be really open. And what is the point of this? The point of this are some of the words that we sang this morning. I would love us to get through this and to be able to sing with absolute passion and truth, Jesus, we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. You make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves. Wherever we've settled, wherever we're standing that's safe for us, Jesus wants to call us out beyond the shore this morning. And this is what I hope this series is going to do. His promise, if we seek him, we will find him. And this is not just about reading our Bibles. This is about encountering the person of Jesus in a fresh way. So together, what we're going to do is we're going to be reading a chapter a day of the New Testament, 5 days a week. You get 2 days off. That wasn't my vote. I'll just tell you. 5 days a week for the next 3 months. And we're going to be encouraging one another as we go along the way. We're going to start in John. We're not doing every bit of the New Testament because that would take us longer than 3 months, or you'd have to do more than one chapter 5 days a week. And what's going to happen is on the Sundays, most Sundays, what will happen is we'll have a speaker coming, bringing some teaching from that week's readings, either a small part that's spoken to them or an overview of them. And they're going to be sharing their own encounters of Jesus through the scriptures that they've been reading, studying, and reflecting on. And our aim is not to learn facts, but to encounter the person of Jesus. So if you're a guest here this morning, you're massively welcome. Come on a journey with us. If you are just exploring who Jesus is, if you're quite new to all of this, this is the best way to find out who Jesus is. If you've been around a long time, this is our chance, guys, to encounter Jesus in a fresh way. There's a verse I've been thinking about, pondering this week from Jeremiah 33, where God says, call to me and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how long you've sat in church, there are great and mighty things you do not know. And if we will but turn our hearts open to encounter Jesus, he'll show himself to us. So I'm really excited about this. This is a phrase that I want you to bear in mind as we do this series. How God longs for us to know him. That's the truth. He longs for you to know him. It's not a legal rule thing you've got to do when you're a Christian. He longs for you to know him. And if you think about it, if you meet a new person, you can learn things about them from observing them. So if I didn't know Poe, I could observe how he interacted with people and what he did. But how do I get to know him? How do I get to know his heart? He talks to me. He tells me. He expresses in words what's going on within him. And the Bible is God's word to us. He wants to talk to us through it. I have been, you know, I love the Passion Translation, so I'm reading John in the Passion Translation. I'm a bit ahead of you because I'm speaking on John 1 to 5 next week. So I've had to get going, guys. And in the notes to this translation, it says this: we discover Jesus as we read and study his living word. The word is not just dead letters. Hebrews tells us this: the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's living. It's powerful. That book is not just a book with print in it. It's living. When the Holy Spirit gets hold of it, it's living. It's powerful. It wants to do things in you and in me if we will let it. It's incredibly, miraculously alive and able to speak to us. And more than that, to completely transform us from the inside out. It's a miracle. Why would we want to ignore it? But most importantly, the word is a person. Again, the Passion Translation goes on and says, the word is not just dead letters. It is the living expression of God, Jesus Christ. You may be familiar with this scripture. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God is Jesus, living, powerful, active, came to earth, dwelt amongst us, rose from the dead. He's still alive, still powerful, still active, still wanting to reach us and talk to us and change us and transform us. You may remember back at the beginning of the year, the verse from Revelation that our whole Refresh series is based on, where the Lord said to us as a team and says to us as a church, I know your works. I know your labor, your patience. I know you've persevered and you've labored for my name's sake, and you haven't become weary. But I have this against you, that you've left your first love. And that first love is Jesus. And what we want, isn't it, is a renewed passion for him, to encounter him more. So hence our new series, Encountering Jesus. If I go to the Passion Translation for that familiar passage about the word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, it calls the word the living expression. That's interesting, isn't it? So Jesus, the word, is the living expression of God. And so the living expression became a man, and lived among us. And we gazed upon the splendor of his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, overflowing with tender mercy and truth. John the Baptist taught the truth about him when he announced to the people, he's the one. Set your hearts on him. My challenge to you this morning, will you set your heart on him in this season? Because he wants to encounter you in new and fresh and living ways, no matter how long you've walked as one of his followers. There's a phrase that I say quite often. People are getting bored, but I'll say it again. What we focus on is what we give influence to in our lives. If we in this season will focus on Jesus, we give influence to him in our lives, and we're changed as a result. I have found this, people. I stand here a bit of a long-in-the-tooth Christian who's been around in River Church more years than some of you have probably been alive. And it can get churchy. It can get, can't it? But in this season, and we've been focusing on this, and obviously as a team, we've been running with this a bit before, we've been explaining it to you. I have seen my focus change. I've seen Jesus become more real. I've begun to encounter him as I've been preparing John 1-5 this last week. There's just been a new sense of knowing him. So I encourage you, come on this journey. Will you set your heart on him? Now then, you'll be familiar with this thing that shoots across the screen fantastically. This is kind of like a representation of our spiritual journey as followers of Jesus, that we start exploring him, who he is, getting to know him, then we make a commitment to follow him, we grow in Jesus, we become close to Jesus, and ultimately our goal is to be Jesus-centered. And what the research has found is what is the biggest catalyst for growth for each of those different segments is reflection on Scripture. You've probably heard me say this before. As we reflect on Scripture, that is the main catalyst for our growth as followers of Jesus. It's so important. So it's not just reading Scripture, which is great, please do, but it's actually reflecting on it as well, chewing it over. What does it mean for me? How do I find Jesus in this? Now, as a team, when we've been launching this reading plan, we don't just want to give you a chapter and say, get on with it, read it. We want to help you reflect on it. So we found this natty little thing called the 6 P's. Now, this has caused some amusement in the leadership team, I will just say, especially when, as you'll see in the moment, I said to them all, right, I'm going to talk about the 6 P's. I want you all to do a P in the Sunday meeting. I didn't mean it, and I didn't even know I was saying it. I swear, that is, isn't it, guys? Isn't that literally what happened? They fell about. I lost the whole of the rest of the meeting and was very grumpy. So, the 6 P's. So as we look at a verse or a passage of Scripture, as you read your chapter every day, there are tools that you can use to help you reflect on it, to dig into it. You can picture it. You can pronounce it. You can paraphrase it. You can personalize it. You can pray it, and you can probe it. Now, my beautiful assistants are going to demonstrate this to you. So, members of the leadership team, come on up here. We're going to demonstrate this using this verse, okay? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So it's quite an appropriate... I love this. They so love being in a team with me. Different passages of Scripture lend themselves to some of these things a little easier. But we're going to use this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I think we're starting with you, Rachel, picturing it.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing about this is actually it's much easier, as it says in the notes that you'll get, it's much easier to picture something where there's a narrative or there's a conversation, etc. However, this was my approach. I'm someone who likes facts, background, context, but actually I also love to use my imagination. So I'm practical and creative. Yes, a funny mix, I know. However, so for me, it was, okay, so who's speaking? Who are they speaking to? And so who am I listening to this as God speaking to me, as Jesus speaking to me? So I put myself in the place of a disciple. So obviously this is being written to the church in Colossae. So the disciples in Colossae. So I'm a disciple and I've chosen as a disciple to be a follower. So I'm seeing myself as a follower, sitting with Jesus, and I'm going to allow myself to hear and own and absorb his words so that they dwell richly in my every cell of my body, in the oxygen that flows through my blood, in every thought. So I am sitting with Jesus. I'm picturing it, sitting with Jesus, allowing his words, his utterances, the power of what he speaks, for that to become the very part of my being.
Good, isn't it? So as I've been reading John 1 and there are stories of Jesus, I've been going, okay, so I'm going to be one of those people sitting there. I'm going to be listening to what Jesus is saying. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be a part of it. What does it look like, feel like, sound like? Oh, can you touch? Fantastic. Maddie, you're pronouncing it.
I am, and this is a beautifully simple method, just purely based around the fact that when you read a sentence in a slightly different way, it can have a slightly different meaning. So this idea is that you take that verse and you read it in a different way, just purely by putting the emphasis on a different word each time. So you could have, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You just think about that, and you think, what does that mean, that emphasis on the word let? You think about it and you jot down your thoughts. And then you might try, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does that say to you? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You see where I'm going? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then finally, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So it's amazing how actually just by taking that apart, putting the emphasis on different parts of the sentence can tell you something different about what is meant. I think that's just really wonderful.
Dave, you are paraphrasing.
I am paraphrasing. Now, technically, paraphrasing means to abridge and abbreviate. But we had a long debate about this, and we're okay that it can mean to even lengthen. Sorry, it was a little internal thing we had last week. So, this one's actually the easiest one in one sense, because it's really simply putting it in your own words. Now, it really depends on your personality. For some of you, will go, oh, that's not highfalutin enough. I'm going to make it really flowery and elegant and 35 words long. And other people will go, I'll keep it simple and it'll just be two words. So this is my attempt at paraphrasing or putting this, the meaning of these words in my own words. Let the words of Jesus make themselves at home in my head. In my heart. Let the words of Jesus make themselves at home in my head and my heart. So that's what it means for me.
Great. Thank you, Dave. And I'm right, by the way, not you on that. Chris, now, Chris, you're personalising it.
I was.
Can we manage this?
So I am the slowest disciple. I was originally given paraphrase, wasn't I, Dave? Much to the amusement of the rest of the team on Tuesday. So, I am personalizing it, and I think I'm going to get it right, but if I don't, then, you know, you can help me out. So, Jesus wants to connect with us, doesn't he, on a real personal level. So, it is as simple as taking, the verse you're looking at and either putting in the pronoun or your name in place of what's there at the moment. So it currently says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Why not read it as, let the word of Christ dwell in me richly? And then spend some time thinking about that. If you like referring to yourself in third person or your royalty, then let the word of Christ dwell in, for me, Chris richly. I mean, it depends on, you know, whatever works for you, but just be able to spend that time and muse on how Jesus wants to connect with us personally. So personalize it.
Well done. Susan, you're praying it.
Yeah, and I think this really follows on very nicely from personalizing it. So it's about turning that into a prayer. And the simplest way of doing that would be to kind of just personalize it, which is, you know, Lord, let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. But you need to dig into that a bit further. It might be that you know that you're not really allowing it. So you might need to change the prayer, which says, Lord, let me learn how to allow the word of Christ to dwell in me richly. Or maybe you're kind of doing it a bit, but you want more. So you might change it to, Lord, let the word of Christ dwell in me even more richly. And as you're doing that, thinking about where you sit in regards to that verse and what it might mean to you, you know, write it down. Ask the Lord to help you identify where you might be a little bit stuck with it. You know, Lord, show me how to let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. Show me what life might be like if I allow the word of Christ to dwell in me richly. And as he speaks to you, as he will answer those prayers, then jot those things down.
It's good, isn't it? Who never thought you could do these things? And lastly, Ben, probe it.
Again, this was a source of much mirth in the team, because I'll explain it and then we'll give you some context at the end. So basically, the clue's in the name. It's about probing a verse. So you probe it with questions. Now, these aren't, you know, it's a bit different to saying, oh, I wonder what that means. It's more a case of you coming up with actions that make you interact with it. So there is a list of example, yeah, if you're a bit stumped by what shall I say, there is a list that's available that you can use. But I've got some examples here that I've used when I was looking at this. There's ones, you know, sort of for example, is there a sin to confess from this, or is there a promise to claim? And as I went through it, I had a look and I decided that there was a promise for me to claim, and that was that Christ will dwell within me richly. So it's actually believing that in the first place, and especially it carries on about teaching. So for me specifically, that's, you know, when I lead, when I do any teaching, that he will be there, he will be within me. And then the attitude is actually kind of follows on a bit from what Maddie was saying, is actually let the word of Christ, you know, that's the attitude. I'm going to be open to this, I'm going to allow this to dwell within me. And there's other ones such as, is there a truth to believe, and things like that. So it's really about you kind of interacting with it and actually taking a step back, and instead of just saying, oh, I wonder what that's about, actually probing it with specific questions and coming to a conclusion, you know, searching and deciding whether that's that. Is it your attitude that you need to change towards this? Is there something you can pick up out of it or learn from it? Or do you need to change your heart to something?
Great, Ben, that's fantastic. Team, thank you, my lovely assistants, thank you. Okay, so the six P's, picture it, pronounce it, paraphrase it, personalize it, pray it and probe it. They will all help you reflect on the scripture you're reading rather than just read it and it's in and kind of out the other side. Now then, at this point, I was going to be giving you a beautiful booklet that we have had designed and printed, sadly not delivered, which is a beautiful little booklet called Encountering Jesus. It has the six P's noted in it. It has the little reading plan for you to tick off every day. It gives you the dates, gives you the references that you're reading. And it's something that we can all take and we can all work together. They will be available next week. However, you are not going to get away with missing week one, because instead what we've done is we've done a photocopy. So this morning I haven't got a beautiful booklet to give you. I will have one for you next week. If you're not going to be here, I urge you to ask somebody to get one for you. If I say it now, small group leaders, grab a handful, there'll be plenty to give to your small groups. Grab loads to give out. I actually found it when I'm not a real kind of finding overly spiritual meanings in everything sort of a person, but as I reflected on this morning, that these darned booklets hadn't arrived. I thought, isn't it interesting? Because if we're going to be reading the word together as a family, to join us together, to promote a unity amongst us, to encounter Jesus, to get to know him and to be transformed, who would best want that not to happen? The printers, no. That would be the enemy. And what best way could he just mess that up? I thought it was interesting, wasn't it? A bit of opposition, you think, just maybe we're going on the right way. So what I'd love you to do is at the end, everyone to take one of these sheets. The welcome team will have them for you. It gives you the first week's readings, the first month's actually, with the six P's on the back. And start tomorrow with John 1. Now then, this isn't a legalistic thing. I don't want you to get under pressure. Do what you can. But it's about finding life. And if all you do is you read the first chapter the whole week, but you find life in it, you find Jesus in it, that is fantastic. You might just read one story and stay in that one story all week because Jesus is talking to you and you're finding him in it. Do you know what? That's fine. But join with us as we go through. We're starting with the book of John. John was a passionate follower of Jesus. He'd seen the miracles of Jesus. He'd heard the anointed words he talked. He walked with Jesus and he followed him wholeheartedly. What a great place for us to begin. He also knew himself as the disciple who Jesus loved. This wasn't saying that Jesus loved him more than all the rest, but John knew Jesus loved him. He knew he was loved by Jesus. And I read this quote. As we stop defining ourselves by our failures, but see ourselves as the one who Jesus loves, then our hearts begin to open to the breathtaking discovery of the wonder of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? So we're starting in John. Now then, I'm going to take you as we finish just to a short passage from John 1. Actually, just hang fire on that. Don't read that bit just yet. The bit beforehand, we have John the Baptist. He's there with his disciples and Jesus walks right past them. Okay? And John the Baptist gazed upon Jesus. He pointed to Jesus and he said to his disciples, "Look, there is God's Lamb." And as soon as two of John's disciples heard that, they immediately left John the Baptist and they began to follow a short distance behind Jesus. Onto this. Then Jesus turned around and saw that they were following him and he said, "What do you want?" They responded, "Rabbi, Master, Teacher, where are you staying?" Jesus answered, "Come and discover for yourselves." I found this really interesting. Jesus wants to speak to us this morning through this. They were following a short distance behind Jesus. Do you feel this morning maybe you're a short distance behind Jesus? Do you feel that's where you are? He's saying, come closer. What do you want? Jesus asked them. He asks you and me this morning, what do you want? People wanted lots of things from Jesus, answers to prayer, healings, stuff, wise words. Jesus asks us today, what do you want from me? These guys wanted to be with Jesus. Where are you staying? They didn't want things answered. They didn't want healing. They wanted to be with Jesus. Where are you staying? And Jesus' answer is, come and discover for yourselves. Jesus invites them on a journey of discovery. And that's what he does for you and for me today. He says, do you feel a short distance behind me? What do you want? Come stay with me. Come discover. Come and discover who I am. That's our invitation during this 3 weeks. 3 months. So, what I'd like to do is I'd like to pray for you and for me in this 3 months that we encounter Jesus in a new way. And yeah, sure, it's going to take a bit of effort on your part, but God encourages us to come and seek him and says we will be found. So can I ask you to stand? And I would just like to pray for us. In that meeting I talked about that happened on Thursday, the speaker was saying about seeing Jesus and took us to the story of where Jesus has risen from the dead. The disciples are locked in a room, frightened, and Jesus walks through the wall effectively and stands before them. And he said, picture that happening. Picture yourself in the room. And I could see myself there, and I saw Jesus come through the wall and stand in the room, but he was shadowy. And I sat there thinking, I can't see Jesus very clearly. And what I did was I moved slightly, and that shadowy Jesus came into colour and into focus and into picture. And then Jesus walked towards me, stood right in front of me, and I was looking down, and he said, just look into my eyes and know me. That's what Jesus says to us this morning. So Lord, where you are shadowy to us, we choose to move this morning. We choose to move slightly, to pick up our Bibles. We choose to move so you will come into focus. And Jesus, we invite you to come right close to us. We want to gaze in your eyes. We want to know you. We want to encounter you. And Lord, I want to release a hunger over every person in this place to pursue you, Jesus, in this season. A hunger for more of you. As we get a glimpse that we want more and more and more. And Lord, I pray for our hearts that they will be soft, that they will be open, willing to learn. And we choose now, Lord, to open the eyes of our hearts to see you. So come, Lord Jesus, come on my friends in this room, come on me, come on all of us in this church family, Lord God, that we would see you, encounter you, know you. At the end of this 3 months, we would be changed people because we've encountered you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.